verses 26 to 35. Jesus is speaking to the crowd who had, or some of the crowd who had been fed with the fish and the loaves. So that's the context. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent, he has sent." So they said to him, "And what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Are you old enough to remember when bread was good for you? It was nutritious, and it filled you up. I remember when I was a kid, if you were still hungry after dinner, then you got a slice of bread and some jam to sort of top you up. I know a family that were friends of ours who had five boys, and every dinner they consumed an entire loaf of bread. Yeah. And then came along bleached flour. I remember reading about in England when it was first there, it was very posh, and the royalty and all the, you know, the rich and famous type people all thought this was better bread. And so they would eat it, and then their servants and lower class people, they got that, you know, grainy kind of whatever bread. And it turns out, of course, that that was the more nutritious bread. They were actually getting better bread. Somewhere along the way, we turned on bread. It became the scapegoat for our extra pounds. Cut the carbs, quit eating bread. Now, I realize that the bread that we eat today is not anywhere near as good as the bread that we probably ate 50, 60, and way beyond my time ago. But still, I don't think it's a coincidence that society has turned against bread spiritually. Because Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." So if our enemy can taint our relationship with bread, then perhaps the enemy can muddy the waters where Jesus is concerned. In the biblical days, bread was made entirely from scratch. And I don't just mean like you get your flour no, you went out and got the wheat and ground it to the flour, every step, made by scratch. Bread meant life. If you could eat bread, you would be satisfied, you would be sustained. Bread was a staple. So when Jesus said to those people, "I am the bread of life," it was a significant statement. Now, we aren't so far removed from that that we can't understand the point that Jesus is making. Although maybe not to the same significance. As I said, this passage that we read this morning, Jesus is in conversation with some of the people who had just been fed the day before in that miracle of the loaves and the fishes. So if you recall the story, crowds come in, And they're there for like a day and a bit, like they're there a long time. And Jesus says, like, they're hungry, we need to feed them. And as it turns out, in the miracle, Jesus takes 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and he multiplies them, and they just feed everybody. Now, the scripture says that there were 5,000 men, plus women and children. So all the biblical scholars, they got to figure this out, and they assume that there's probably upwards of 10,000 people who actually got fed. And not just that they got a piece of bread, but that they were filled. They ate as much as they could eat. And after they ate as much as they could eat, there were 12 baskets left over. That's the miracle. But when we hear that story with the words, "I am the bread of life," echoing in our minds, we see something incredible. We see Jesus' ample supply. So those people that got filled that day went looking for Jesus the next day. And Jesus had sent his disciples across the lake, and he followed them later, so we can insert Jesus walks in the water story here. And then, anyway, Jesus eventually gets over to the side, so these people were like, no, we gotta find Jesus, we gotta find Jesus, we gotta find Jesus. And they follow around to the other side of the lake, and lo and behold, they do find Jesus. And Jesus says to those folks, you wanna be with me because I fed you? Not because you understood the miraculous signs. In other words, they're following Jesus to see what he might do next. Not because they understand who he is or the significance of the miracle. But we can understand the significance of the miracle when we have that in our head, I am the bread of life. So upwards of 10,000 people were fed. Now, as my Bible peeps know, the numbers in the Bible matter. There's no insignificant details. And biblical scholars have analyzed the numbers to figure out the patterns of the numbers and when they're used and what they mean. And the Hebrew language is a complex language where their letters are also their numbers, and all of that is in piles together to create a beautiful analogy or understanding. So 5, as we know, is the number of grace. And grace is God's unmerited favor. And it's grace, just love. But God just loves you because God loves you. That's grace. You haven't earned it. It's nothing you did or didn't do. It's just God loving you and holding you special. That's God's favor. So that's number 5. Number 2 is a number for union, right? Unity, bringing together. And 12 signifies God's perfect government. So when we look at the numbers in this story, we can see that under God's system, there is unity and favor and ample supply. But the people eating the bread from that ample supply were only concerned about lunch. And when they find Jesus, they press him to do another miracle. Do another miracle, and then we'll believe in you. And they actually tell Jesus, like, Moses fed the people in the wilderness by having manna show up every morning. And he did that for decades, Jesus. That's kind of a bigger deal than just lunch. They're actually egging Jesus on to do another miracle. Prove it to us. Show us something amazing. And Jesus sees their hearts, and he corrects their error. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes from heaven and gives life to the world. Life. Perhaps my favorite verse is John 10:10. It's Jesus. And he says, the thief only comes in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you may have life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Life, capital letters, life. And life is not the same as existence. Sadly, so many people go through their life existing. They are stressed and depressed and anxious and discontent and wishing away the days. And what they need is the bread of life, because they can be transformed and they will have capital letters life, which is filled with peace and joy and contentment and true rest for the soul, just to name a few benefits. Now the crowd recognizes this is something good, and they say the smartest thing they've said all day, "Sir, give us that bread every day." But I'm sure they were thinking literal bread, similar to the woman at the well who wanted the living water from Jesus. Jesus replies, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." See, Jesus is speaking spiritually, and he gives the invitation to come to him, to believe in him. And when we do, we are given the key to the bakery. We have complete and full access to the bread of life. Come and never be hungry again. So since Jesus is the bread of life, it got me wondering if there's this other verse we should consider. Maybe it's a little deeper than we've thought. From the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." I mean, we've often thought that it's talking about provision. Give us what we need this day, Jesus. But if Jesus is the bread of life, maybe there's a little more depth in this verse. When God provided manna to the children of Israel in the wilderness, they received it daily. Each morning they were to go out and collect only what they needed for them and their household, nothing more. They didn't collect it and store it for the next day. They collected it each morning. There's a pattern here of daily. We know from Lamentations, it says, "Your mercies, O God, are new every morning." God's a daily God. Jesus, the manna, the true bread from heaven. Give us this day, Jesus, the true bread from heaven. In order to be nourished spiritually, we need daily food from Jesus. And how does Jesus feed us? Well, he says, "Whoever comes to me will be fed." So we have to come to Christ to be fed. We have to give Christ some time, a few minutes in the morning. You don't have to be locked in a room for an hour, although, hey, if you want to do that, God will never disappoint you. But I know we live busy lives. God knows we live busy lives. It might not be the ideal, but if we could at least carve out a few minutes for spiritual food every morning, what a difference it would make in our days. I know in my own life, on those busy days, and they happen mostly on vacation, where you get neglectful and you don't spend that moment, and the days just aren't the same. Something's missing, and usually by midday I realize, oh, I didn't spend any time with God. No wonder I'm off. It's so important to us. We need to have it. We can also be fed through the Word. And I know reading the Bible used to be really intimidating because you had the King James Version. Well, we have so many easy-to-read versions now. There's apps that have Bibles that you can select. I think there's 40 English translations. Surely one of those will make sense. And don't worry about it if it doesn't. You're required to open it and read it. The Holy Spirit will do the rest, and you'll be fed. If you don't know what to read, start with the Gospels. The Gospel of John's like really good. I mean, they're all good, but that one's really, really good. Just read the stories of Jesus. It's a good place to start. And be fed. We can also be fed through Christian music, just letting that be the backdrop, as you go about your busy things, there's something different in the air when there's Jesus music playing. Sunday mornings we gather and we're fed. But, and I know I've said this before, if this is the only time you eat, you're spiritually starving. Imagine if you physically only ate one meal a week. You would quickly be malnourished. You would quickly have no energy. You'd become weak, sleepy, non-productive. It's the same for our spirits. If we don't feed them, they become weak. And then when you need your faith, it's weak. It doesn't have the power to carry you through hard situations. So it's really a matter of necessity that we allow Jesus to feed us. And Jesus can feed us directly just by spending time in his presence. Quiet time. You don't have to have music playing. You don't have to have your Bible open. You're just there, thinking about the Lord. And if you're like me, your mind wants to go other places, you just bring it back with the word Jesus. A few minutes every day will change your life. And maybe I'm preaching to the choir. You may already all have that kind of a developed start to your day, that spiritual feeding. And yes, I'm excited if you do. And if you don't, you're missing something really grand. So ultimately, it comes down to this. Are you like the crowd following Jesus, hoping for a miracle? Or are you more like Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and was fed? Are you like the crowd looking for a free lunch? Or do you desire the deeper feeding from Christ's table? Do you desire that intimate relationship that Jesus invites you into? And Jesus offers without condition, whoever comes. You don't have to have your act cleaned up. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have great church attendance. You don't have to be anything but you. Whoever comes, I will feed them. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. As we end this time as a gathered community, we prepare to serve in all the scattered places of our lives. Go in the knowledge that God, our Creator, sustains and supports you in this service. Go with assurance that Christ Jesus feeds you and equips you for service amongst the strangers and the friends of your life. Go with trusting reliance on the Spirit, who enables you to bear witness, to care lovingly, and to work for justice. May God's peace go with you.